We are in Judges chapter 15. I've got my notes up or whatever, and let's just do a quick review. Samson comes back to visit with his wife because they're still legally married. And gets ready to come back and finds out that the dad has given his wife to his best man, another heathen. And then he says, well, you know, why don't you just hang out with her sister because she's better. We didn't know. We didn't know you was coming back. We thought you hated her. You know. So we can laugh at that and say, dummy. But the application
don't
for...
Don't get one of your startle hats.
Yeah. Yeah. And while we may not see any kind of application, you know, so what, we're just listening. You got to look at this more than just reading a story. Because are there times in our life where we just think Jesus ain't showing up? You can hear some of it in son's prayer. You know, hey, we just kind of think that, you know, where you at, where you come, you know. And you got to hang in there. And don't get hooked up to somebody else other than your Savior when you're waiting to get delivered. So look for the application. Look for the type of Christ. Maybe I shouldn't use type of Christ, because Samson is just so off sometimes. Look at it from the standpoint of he fulfills a role, a deliverer or savior role. He's in that role, which is a role similar to Christ, even though we know that he's imperfect in that role. All right. So look at it that way. And when you look at it that way, you'll be able to bring Old and New Testament together and then see that application for us today. You know. So I mean, it's interesting. So I'm looking at this story. I'm like, I never saw that I need to be careful of what's happening with his father-in-law and his wife until I put myself in that situation and say, hey, do I have that spirit sometimes where it just doesn't seem like I know the New Testament says I'll never leave you or forsake you. But are there those moments sometimes where we just feel like we're just out there by ourselves and we don't know where Jesus is and all this stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But he's still there. All right, and he's still coming back. May not come back when we think he's coming back, but he's coming back. And if we here's one for you. It's not in my notes. If we stay lined up with Christ, should we be fearful when he comes?
No.
Why do you know that in relation to this story? Look at the scripture.
Well, they didn't think, the father-in-law didn't think, and I'm sure the wife either, that the husband, Samson, was coming back.
Right.
So they went into despair, and they just looked for a human answer to take care of
her. Oh, my goodness. If that ain't today. But look at verse 1. Came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with the kid. Well, oh, good gracious. Thank you, Holy Ghost. All right. So, how is Samson coming back?
He's bringing a gift.
I'm going to go back and visit my wife and have barbecue and get close to her. Does that sound like somebody who's mad at the spouse?
No.
Could he have been mad?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, reasonably mad, because he's the reason that he was almost out 30 garments of clothes.
But it was his bride, and he was going back to rejoin.
Even though the bride was a little off?
Oh, yeah.
Even though the bride...
Even though she betrayed him.
Woo! Somebody got to say hallelujah in this and see that we in this story. Yes! He's coming back, and even though there's a reason for the bride to be fearful, when I see end time prophecy and right now application in this, our Savior always comes to us in open arms, and despite our shortcomings in our past. Thank you for the blood.
The Bible says our weaknesses draw
near to us. And so in her weakness, in her mistake, in her error, which she trusted the world and these evil folk more than she trusted in the strength of her deliverer, her husband, all right, we see here that he comes back to redeem and to restore and, you know, restore the relationship. There was no need for her to fear what she did in the past. I just said something right there. There was no need for her to fear the mistakes she had made, because the Savior is still coming to embrace her.
How long was he gone?
I don't know. Maybe it was 2,000 years. That's how long we've been waiting on Christ.
The problem, too, for them, the father and the daughter, the wife, was that I doubt they understood, like, that they could repent.
Yeah.
And receive that restoration. Right. They weren't.
That's why I'm glad we do, because we know the steps. Mm-hmm. It's that humility thing. And look at verse 2 again. I know this is review, but we didn't cover this, I don't think. And her father said, I verily, truly thought that thou had utterly hated her. Why did he think that Samson, the husband, the deliverer, utterly hated her?
Because she betrayed him.
So we just figured because we betrayed him and you left mad or whatever, that hey, you just hated her.
Peter betrayed Jesus, but he didn't hate him.
Didn't hate him. Mm-hmm. But look, oh, you brought some New Testament in there. Shame on you, but let's go that way anyway. So when Peter denies him three times,
right.
Christ comes back and he asks the question, do you love me? Because it was yeah. Peter. Ooh, we can make a song out of that. Steve want to do something like that? If you really... Okay, anyway. So when you look at that, think about that. So Peter's the one that said, Lord, you know, I love you. Oh, you're going to deny me three times. Jesus comes back and uses those similar words to Peter. Hey, do you love me? Mm-hmm. And Peter is now very cautious. Mm-hmm. More prudent. Because he knows he loves him, but the fear of, I don't want to say it because I failed you before and you can get into all the Greek.
But he didn't think Jesus would come and restore him because he went back to his old profession. Oh,
good. That was his profession when he was in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we seeing in the story? He went back, the father goes back and says, oh, wow, you must, hey, we failed. So, you know what? Might as well go back to the world. What is it? And gives her to the little heathen buddy. And application for today, we need to be very careful that we don't rely on the world, all right, when we're seeing all the things that are happening around us. And that we don't rely on another person other than Christ to be the deliverer, because our hope is in Christ working through the right people.
Yes. Amen.
All right. Amen. All right. So here we go. Don't focus on the person, because the person will let you down. All right. So here we go. All right. And so we already read this last week. This is just review. Look at this. We got first half hour just making fun of Al and Jimmy and just doing reviews. So let's take a look at this. All right, we got to get going here. Dave's going, I wish they'd move on. All right, so he catches the foxes or what, the jackals or whatever they are, that are abundant there. They trusted in, they trusted in their harvest. Their harvest ain't going to happen because Samson is taking revenge. This is the opportunity he was looking for to start to defeat the enemy. And sad. They burned up the wife's house with the father-in-law, which means the thing that they were trying to avoid how many people do we know that tried to avoid something and wound up happening anyway? And you just sit back and you eat your popcorn, you just watch them and go, you know what, just, tried to tell you, McFly, you just didn't get it. tried to tell you, you didn't get it. So now you just sit back and you watch it, whether it's with your kids, whether it's with your friends, and maybe somebody might have even done it with you. Yeah, did you know slap? I'm like, man, now all I did was kick the can down the road because this is happening anyway. Good gracious, could have saved me some time and heartache. Went ahead. Let me just go on. I remember growing up and I tried to cover up a mistake I made as a child, and I covered it up or whatever and lied about it and shifted things or whatever. I got a moment of relief. But when the old man came home and put two and two together, I didn't know a man with a GED could figure it out as quickly as he could, and he did, but he figured it out. And then all of a sudden, the very thing that I did not want happened anyway. And it happened worse. Yeah, boy, he beat me good. That was a good whooping. Anyway, and a punishment on top of that. And I just sat there as I was, you know, rubbing my backside and thinking that I got 2 weeks of punishment behind this on top of that. I could have avoided all this stuff. Just fessed up, it would have been easier for me.
Yeah.
Got my tail torch. Oh yeah, I ain't heard that in a while. Got the tail torch. And sometimes in life we still go through those times where we say, you know what? If I just went ahead and confessed earlier, this thing, you know.
Tell me the truth.
Was there a moment where they had some relief, his bride? Yes. They didn't burn the house right away. Anyway, so there's a lot of application here. Let's just keep going. All right. So now. Verse 7, and Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet I will be avenged of you. After that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the rock of Etam. All right. So he's beaten up. I mean, this is the opportunity. This is the payback or whatever. There's a role where Christ plays as our deliverer, where he's going to give some payback to those who have done us wrong. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. All right, verse 9, new stuff. Finally, at 10 o'clock, half hour into this, we get to the new stuff. All right, let's see how quickly we can get through this. There's not a whole lot here. I mean, then the... Okay, now I got that spirit that Jimmy got. Let me keep going. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Let me give you a definition there in my notes. Lehi equates to the word jaw. So they went to the place of the jaw. All right, jaw. All right, there you go. Verse 11. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of Rock Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are ruler over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so I have done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And I think later on, verse 13, let's just go down to there. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. So he's on this rock called Edom. Edom, I don't have any great revelation. It means the lair of wild beasts. All right. And the only thing I got there is I guess he's getting ready to go into beast mode, because he's getting ready, you know, he's going, how'd you say it, Susan? Tearing tail or what?
Torch the tail.
Getting ready to torch the tail here. All right, so here we go. All right. I got a note here because I'm looking at how this story parallels to other things that we've seen in history. It's almost like this is in the middle of history. You've got all the stuff that happened earlier in the New Testament with the deliverance of the children of Israel. And then you've got this story. And then on the backside of this, you've got Christ. And what I noted here is this will not be the last time in history, and it's not the first time that people complain about the efforts of someone trying to set people free. Did you catch that? Remember Moses?
Yeah.
Were they really happy about
And
when, that's right. Sandra laughed. And when did they start complaining about? When times got hard. When the enemy rolled in like a flood, they didn't see that God was building a standard against them. Mm-hmm. All right, that's scripture somewhere. All right.
Yeah.
So so whenever times got hard, things got difficult, they're like, ah, look at you. We should have left you alone. I don't know why we fired you in the first place. Well, that was Moses. All right. That was Moses. We see some elements of that with David. And here we are now. When David, when they lost all their stuff, and they were like, oh, we, you know, we weren't following you. We done lost all our stuff. Family all gone or whatever. We about to kill you. And what did David? David had to encourage himself in the Lord. Oh, are you telling me there's a new? So there is. There's nothing new under the sun. And so, just so here we see this being played again, and you can see did they complain about Christ?
Yes.
And who killed them?
Jesus.
Not really. The Romans killed them, which was the enemy that controlled the nation at the time. But who delivered him to the Romans? Good gracious almighty. And what's getting ready to happen in this story? The Judases are fixing to deliver him to the enemy. Just like, so again, we see this role of savior or whatever. We see some elements of what's happening to Samson that is happening to those who have delivered in the past. And we see, and so application for today, just be careful. And I got a question here. Why are they complaining to Samson? What is their problem with
hardship
Samson? It's the hardship. You speaking out and you fighting this enemy is making life more difficult to us. And you know, and this is not the last. This is not the last time you will see this in biblical history, because we see it with Christ. But even in our own history, you'll see where, hey, you rocking the boat. Don't rock the boat. That was a song back in the day, too. Don't rock the boat. Three people said, laughing. And that's how old I am. All right.
Is that why the church is not standing up for all of the evil that's going on in our world today? Because they don't want the boat rocked?
It could be.
I think they're afraid.
Well, why is Judah... Wait a minute. What's the tribe of Judah mean? Is that Judah? Is that Judah in here that we see?
Yeah,
Judah. Yes, Judah. And Judah means...
Yeah, exactly.
And Judah means praise.
Right.
So instead of praise, instead of support, how many guys? 3,000 gather themselves against the hero. It should have been 3,000 gathered themselves
against the enemy
to support the hero. So, oh my goodness, is it possible when we attack our spiritual leaders? Are we helping the enemy?
Yes.
Okay, I'm done with that. You know, when you look at this story, you got to figure out what side are you on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because these are God's people.
Yeah, and they're anointed by God.
Yeah, they're anointed by God. They're God's people. Mm-hmm. His blessings, His promises, His covenant is with
our
them.
Spiritual leaders need to make sure what side they're on.
Amen. That's amen. 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 Yeah, that's
true.
It's true.
And doing nothing is doing something.
That's
amen.
True too. I feel like my feet's burning.
what's that? Jonathan Edwards, the fires of hell. Spurgeon.
Yeah. He's fighting the enemy, but they come to deliver him to the enemy, and the one who's trying to deliver them from the enemy is who they turn over. And I highlighted it. It's just like Jesus.
And he doesn't resist them either.
No, he doesn't. In fact, he tries to help them.
He told them, tie me up.
He said, hey, tie me up, but you don't want any part of killing me. Which still is wrong, because but the Jews didn't kill Jesus. It was the Romans, but they were
influenced by Satan. And if Satan had realized what he was doing,
oh, it is absolutely influenced by Satan.
He was
so let's hold on to that. Mm-hmm. Is Satan somewhere in the picture again, influencing them through fear? Because fear doesn't come. Fear doesn't come from the Lord. So you got to be careful when you start looking at your circumstances and the circumstances that's going on in the world and our country and stuff like that. And make sure that the fear doesn't drive you into doing something where you attack things that are working for the enemy's behalf.
Like Susan said to me yesterday, evil ain't hiding.
No.
You just got to know what you're looking at.
And you can't do that without the Holy Ghost. Because you'll be looking at things in the natural.
Yep.
So, let me press on, because like I said, there ain't a whole lot there. I think there's an application. Oh, let me just share this story with you real quick. There's an application. So somebody, one of my weird friends on Facebook posted something, because I guess there was some dude, might be an officer or something like that, got in trouble for disciplining his kid or something like that. I heard some kind of story like that or whatever. And they were asking, hey, you know, old folk, you know, hey, we discipline our kids. And somebody got up there and posted, not against anybody, posted saying, well, you know, we shouldn't be disciplining our kids like that, like we did in the old days. We shouldn't be disciplining them like that today because times are different. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, there's nothing new under the sun. So it's almost like
because of
non-discipline, right? And so I'm looking at this, and my wife came up with something that I had not heard before. And I wish I had responded. But I'm like, my response was, there's nothing new under the sun. And I grew up under discipline. And the absence of that is, you know, now you got people breaking in your house and stuff like that. You know. And yes. And so there, it's still relevant. But then my wife said, well, if you're saying that the word of God in that place is not applicable for today, then what word is applicable? And what part of the Bible is applicable? I said, wife, you did a good job on that one. I said, I don't write down a whole lot. But get that one for me. That was good. Because I wish I had come back and said, well, you believe in the Bible, but now what you're saying is you don't think that the Bible is applicable because the Bible was written for back then and that today is different. And I'm like, well, then what part of the Bible or what scripture are you using? Because if you don't use scripture and the Bible tells you how to live, then basically you're saying, well, the Bible's not applicable, so now we're going to lean on our own understanding and do it that way.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Why Christians, we are children of Almighty God.
All right.
And there was a scripture. We could see God works miracles in His people's lives in His scripture.
Okay.
When something happens, people don't believe the miracle.
Okay. I think people might believe the miracle. I don't think people understand the source of the miracle.
Yeah.
And sometimes people look at the miracle and the manifestation, and they're looking at it from an outward perspective. So I think a lot of times we look at what's happening around us in the outward manifestation of those things, and we just roll with it and just enjoy it and don't realize the source of the gift and the giver. So it's the spirit and intent. Like, for instance, you might be going through a tough time. And you might be saying, oh, man, I'm going through a tough time. Well, some of us have been Christians long enough to understand, well, if I'm going through a tough time, either God is trying to get my attention because I'm out of alignment with Him, or God is using this for His glory, and He's going to bring me through, and so that my trial becomes a testimony. But either way, I'm still connected because spiritually I'm looking for that discernment to figure out what to do, and I'm going to be encouraged through the Holy Spirit to hang on in there. Sometimes, oh, we're going to see it in this story. Sometimes good things happen to us, and all of a sudden we forget that it was God who blessed us, and then we just run off doing our own thing because everything is all right in the world. And you're going to see that in this story. Have we ever had those moments where we run off and things are going good or whatever, and then all of a sudden we leave God because of our success?
So it's
the manifestation. So I think sometimes we look at things on the outside and don't realize that there's a spiritual application and a force that's in play, and we miss the motivation and the driver by. It's almost like I have a car, and I'm concerned about that car is you better get me from A to B. But we don't understand all the mechanics and all the things that are required inside the car in order to get there. I know I don't. I just know it needs to get me from A to B. But I don't understand the propulsion and the motivation and the things that are connected in order to make it get from here to there. And sometimes, and that's why I think God uses examples, things in the natural, we call them father, whatever, because we can understand relationships and things in the natural, and it'll help us understand what's going on in the spiritual. And son, I just don't think a lot of people understand the spiritual ramifications of everything that goes on in their life.
Even though some people who are Christians, they don't even. Sometimes because we can call ourselves Christians, but we still, there are those of us who still don't get it.
Well, we want it all in the natural. Yes. We don't want the supernatural.
Yes, we don't.
Right, right.
And we don't, so therefore we don't give testimony and evidence of the supernatural and the miracles that are occurring daily in our lives almost. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes there's the small, big, and large.
Yep.
But we need to give testimony so that others will want.
Yes.
To come into the kingdom.
Because all of it is built around the kingdom. And when you miss the kingdom perspective, then you get what son's talking about. All right, let's keep going.
The next verse explains all that.
Who explains all that? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Thank you, Al. Verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. All right, so now he's bound. His own people then set him up. You know, you got some family members that will set you up in a heartbeat. All right. His own people, all right, then set him up. All right. And then the enemy starts shouting at him. All right. And talking bad about him. Anybody ever talk bad about you? I got somebody on my job says something. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, all weekend I've been going like, oh, you just wait till Monday comes. But anyway, and it's almost here. But you got to be careful because here, as soon as, before the enemy lays a hand on him, they're just talking about him. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. When you are submissive and humble, because could he have beat his kinfolk?
The church will come against you.
Could we tear the church up? Yeah. And he humbles himself. And he changes his mind from what he wanted to do in the flesh, because if you come at me the wrong way, I just, you know, anyway. And then he puts his hope in the plan that God has for him, his life, because he knows his role. Then the Spirit will come on you mightily. And so we just got to follow these same steps that Samson is in and watch the Spirit come mightily. I'm going through. I don't feel good. I'm tired. I'm scared. But you know what? I'm going to go through these steps and watch the Spirit of God come mightily upon this situation. If you don't do the steps and humble and submit and do what Samson's doing in the lesson, then it might be a pretty good chance that the Spirit of God will not come mightily upon you, and you want the Spirit of God to come mightily upon you in your situation, in your challenges, in your struggle, so that God gets the glory. And if you don't let the Spirit, if you don't humble yourself, oh, I know I'm getting kind of preachy, but it's working for me. If you don't follow the steps and allow God to move you through so that the Spirit of God can come mightily upon you, then you might be doing this thing on your own.
And you won't see the miracle.
The miracle started as soon as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord coming upon him was the beginning of the miracle.
And the Spirit of the Lord ain't coming on you until you humble yourself in that situation. And you know what? The bigger the problem, the more might the Spirit comes on you. Good gracious. You know what? I don't even want to see a show of hands, but I'm going to tell you, we sometimes go through some things, and if we don't go through those things the right way, then God can't get glory in the testimony, and it can't help any more kingdom people because we are doing things in our own strength.
Well, there's always two parts to that.
Yeah.
The miracles are for God's glory, but they're also for our good.
Amen.
We're missing our good if he's not getting his glory.
Which means, very good. Which means, Lord, we can never get God's best until the Spirit, we might get a measure, but we'll never get God's best until we understand the motivation and the Spirit behind it. And son, that's why some people see manifestation, but they won't see the best of, or they won't see continued manifestation because they've missed out how the Spirit is moving in the first manifestation.
And sometimes the manifestations are there and they just don't see them
because it didn't happen the way that they thought it was going to happen.
Or it didn't happen the way they thought it was going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The manifestation is there, yes, we miss the blessing. Because of, we're not focused on the right thing.
Look at this. I know this won't happen in church. They couldn't get 3,000 people when the enemy was against them. Mm-hmm. And then God gets ready to try to deliver them. And then all of a sudden they're going to have a church meeting. They're going to have 3,000 people gathered. You know, I know the church doesn't do this today or whatever, but you know, we just have to be careful that we don't become so religious that we miss the Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. I tell you, there's not a whole lot here. All right. So, and look what happens when the Spirit of the Lord gets upon him mightily. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. Woo! So what was... wait a minute. Got a new revelation. Y'all need to take notes on this one. I'm glad I'm recording. Y'all need to take notes on this. This is not in my notes, and this is new revelation. Check this out. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I got something highlighted here. Let me just... I ain't looked at this in a while. All right. What had him bound was easily taken care of. How?
By the Spirit of the Lord.
And why?
Because it was bound by man.
Okay.
He was bound by man.
I didn't even see that. Thank you, Ross. Yeah, he's bound by man. Amen. All right. And why? Because he's following those steps that leads up to this outpouring of the Spirit upon him. And that, all right, allows him to get through his problem very easily.
It is a powerful spirit.
It's a powerful problem. Okay, so of course there's no application for us today, but this the Spirit just put this in my heart. I guess this is I'm just talking about me. I'm not talking about anybody else. Okay.
And then verse 14 and a half should say the Philistine said, "Uh-oh."
Yeah, just add. We'll put that in the Chuck Rogers. We'll come over the Bible. We'll put that in the Chuck and the Chuck and the Roger and Chuck commentary on the side. You know. All right. So,
that's the comic book version.
That's what they said.
So let me tell you what happened. I'll hold off. This was an interesting week. Well, I will tell it because the story can be. So I'm driving down the street, and on my street, heading into my house, and I look in my rearview mirror and I see this car coming up kind of quick on me, and I'm like, this car is kind of on me, and I'm right there. There's a stop sign at the bottom of my street, and my house is like three houses up from that stop sign. So I said, let me put my signal on. Not that I normally signal to go into my driveway. I mean, you know, this is not a major thoroughfare, you know. But I said, let me put my signal on so this person knows that I'm turning, because they on me kind of quick. So I put my signal on. About two houses before I get there, I turn my signal on, get ready to turn into my driveway. As I'm turning into my driveway, boom. Oh, did not even break. Just boom. I hit my mailbox. My mailbox is leaning now. Car all smashed up, toe up or whatever. I'm going to put the picture on Facebook or whatever. You know, I just, you know. And I'm like, I knew it. Felt a little twinge in my neck or whatever. I'm like, yeah. And I start, you know, could be whiplash. Whiplash, I don't know. No, you gotta wait a couple days to kind of see now. Come on now, you know the whiplash. And I get out the car and the little high school kid.
Oh no.
Got a little high school friend in the car or whatever. I said, you know, I ain't paying attention. Uh-uh. Ain't paying attention.
Why you go to driving school?
No, to watch out for them. Jimmy, to watch out for them. So I get out the car. The kid gets out the car. Now, you know, I ain't been saved all my life, you know, and I'm sizing him up. I'm like, he's skinny little kid. I can take him. And no. No. So I'm like, you know, let me go and fix my mailbox. I'm able to push my mailbox back. I'm like, okay, praise God. You know, the mailbox. My neighbor's coming from across the street helping out or whatever. They call the policeman or whatever, and everything seems to be working. And all of a sudden, you know, this peace came upon me. Because I'm like, I need to go through the steps. I need to humble myself. I need to repent from what the flesh is telling me to do. I need to put my hope in the Lord. And all of a sudden, I started thinking about, how can I minister to this kid in his first accident? And I told him, stuff happens sometimes. It could be worse. And look at this. I'm like, you know, boom. My mailbox is fixed. Two, you didn't hit me while I was on my motorcycle. That would have been bad.
Ooh, yeah.
Three, you didn't hit the bends. That's almost as bad as hitting my motorcycle. nobody's hurt or injured. your passenger ain't hurt or injured. In fact, he got to drive away. All he had was a cracked headlight, you know. And I'm like, it's your first accident. I'm like, you know what? God bless you. I love you. Witness to him a little bit, you know. Not all in face with Jesus, but, you know, I love you. God loves you. I said, you picked a good dude.
Did he have insurance?
Yeah, pure. I ain't never heard of that.
Pure.
It's almost like one of those situations where, you know, you had kids before. Hey, I ain't going to put you on my insurance because I know you're going to have an accident, so I'm going to get this bootleg. Al, what are you talking about? You're shaking your head like you don't know. You know what parents do. You know, you ain't jacking up my rates. Here you go.
Always
Norman knows. Norman got all those kids. He know he ain't put all them kids on his insurance. So I'm in a good place, and they roll off, and they drive off, and my car's towed up, but it's right there in the driveway. My wife was like, good thing, because you could have been stranded on the road or whatever, and you in your driveway. So I started praising God. I ain't hurt. It's in the driveway. Everything's good or whatever. Praise the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord was coming upon me mightily. That was on Thursday afternoon. Then Friday, I got the insurance people all involved or whatever. I get this email notification saying, I got it at Joe Hudson to get fixed or whatever, waiting for the estimate. And I get this notification. We told out your car. We're gonna give you $10,000. I'm like, wait a minute. Now that might sound good, but
no.
I only had 80,000 miles on this car.
Oh.
I am not going to find a replacement car for $10,000. We've only got 80,000 miles. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute now. Oh, the devil's a liar. This rascal gets driving back to school or whatever. He gets to drive, and my car is totaled. I'm down a vehicle.
That's in your North
Side today. Well, no, it's just a nice day. I was going to be on it anyway. But
thank God you got extra
vehicle. Thank God I got an extra vehicle. What you got to say? But hope, Sam, before I let you go. But as I'm looking at this, I'm like, this scripture 14 is applicable. Because who was it that has me in this situation? Somebody else. Somebody else got me tied down, bound down in this situation. But if I humble myself and go through the steps, I'll be able to let the Spirit of God move mightily upon me to keep me from being in bondage. Did you see? And we're going to see this example play out again, because now I am letting somebody who has bound me and put me in this situation. It wasn't my fault. I've let somebody put me in this situation. And can the Spirit of the Lord come upon me mightily to deliver me, or am I still going to be bound when I wake up in the morning? Oh, help me, Jesus. That's got to be for somebody, because that's not in my notes. And that's the application for this word. And as I'm looking at this, I'm convicting in myself. I got through it. I prayed. And this is, goes back to what Son said. If I had just remembered the blessings that I had today rather than the mess that I'm going through now, then I would have been easily past this. But now I'm struggling with something. I want to find out. I got the boy's address. I should just drive by. I'm too Christian to do anything bad, but I should just drive by and just kind of, you know, come on now. You ain't been saved all your life. You know there's something that kind of gets in your eye. Somebody needs to pay for this blood on my lip. you driving and I ain't driving. That ain't fair. I don't know how many.
I drive.
I ain't driving Blue Betty anymore, though.
God has blessed you with a motorcycle and you have your Mercedes.
Why is it taking me so hard? Why is it so hard for me to get past this on day two?
Because you're upset about that one little old car.
And what do I need to do then?
Pride.
And it ain't fair. I don't know how my kids and grandkids say this all. It ain't fair. It ain't about being fair. It's about being in the kingdom. Talk about being fair. Here I'm talking about acting like one of my grandkids. And so you go through the steps. And when you go through the steps and you get what Samson do, you get what Samson got. The Spirit of the Lord come on him mightily. And those things that had him bound go away easily. When I figure this out, I mean, you know what, that issue, looking mean at the kid driving by his house, that got aborted in
God
my mind. God, well, I would have got a little bit, but then
that's all You
would have
got the full thing.
I would not have got the full thing. Sandra, what are you saying to Sandra? Talk to us.
Oh, no, it's okay. I just wondered how you knew it was his birthday.
Because he confessed it. He confessed it. He said, "This is my." I asked him, I said, "Is this your first ex?" He said, "Yes, sir." And he said, and when the cops came, he was like, "I just wasn't paying attention."
That girl.
Yeah.
Wow. That's it.
Sometimes you got to go back to the lion and the honey and all that stuff to get you past your next day. And don't let your victory on Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, don't miss it because you're going to need it on Friday when you get more news. But you ought to be able to get through easily if the Spirit of the Lord is on you.
What you do, what you going to do, you going to put some money with it, get you another car?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, that car was going to go to my granddaughter. But then my granddaughter is kind of like, well, I don't know if I want that car. I might want another car. So, okay, so we got the spirit of Ingrid because I didn't know you had a job and was able to do whatever it was you wanted to do. I didn't know you had a strap like that because you don't want a free car. I mean, you know, that's fine. So now, you know, that just took care of it because now you have no car. So now you can go back. You can go and do whatever it is that you was going to try to do before. Because if you're going to have the spirit of an ingrate, you ain't going to get my best. All right. Thank you very much. Anyway, but yeah, I'm going to get a car because my wife wants something bigger with a trailer hitch so we can, you know, do the motorcycle thing or whatever. I don't know. So we'll see. Just pray for me because then we talking about that or whatever, you know. I don't want everybody else's name on the thing. And then you're gonna be hauling all the stuff, you know. So there's the potential for some drama behind that. So right now I'm just gonna, you know, I have a car, praise the Lord, and
where you want the truck?
I'm gonna keep on going. It's at 10:30. Let me just get 15, and then we'll come back. Al, make mention of where we're going to be. And he found a...
Jawbone.
What's your Bible say? Is it a donkey?
Yeah, jawbone. We got killed from a donkey.
Okay, so I'm going to keep it clean. Let's go with a donkey. And put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith.
Yeah.
And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey... Heaps upon heaps with the jaw of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. Now, we will talk about this next week because he's doing something wrong. And I got something highlighted here. The ropes that were holding him tight before were falling off him. When the Spirit comes on you like that, expect what has been holding you down to come off easy. You should be able to pull this off easily when the Spirit moves on your life. And if you can't get, oh my goodness, here you go, I'm just preaching to myself, nobody else. If you can't get past what's been holding you down in the past, if you can't get past the hurt and the disappointment because somebody done did you wrong, if you can't get past that easily, you need more Holy Ghost.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say, here in my Bible, it says it enables God to use weak instruments to accomplish great results.
Well, I'm a weak instrument when I start thinking about my situation while things not being fair. And so when the Spirit of God comes on me mightily, all of a sudden now I have a testimony that God can use for the kingdom. And the kingdom should be more important to me than me.
What did he do wrong?
He didn't pay attention. Who?
He said he did something wrong.
Boast.
Oh, we're going to say, okay. So here's the problem. Oh, this goes back to what Sun said with her question. Who should have gotten the glory as soon as he looked at the result of what he did?
God.
Who got the glory here?
He did.
Yeah. I did it.
Yeah.
And I was so proud of myself in that driveway after that dude hit me. I forgave.
Yeah.
I told him God loves him. I love him too. I told him that he hit a good person today because you could have hit a crazy person. It could be. How you say it, Susan? Lightening up the licks or
torching the tail.
Torching the tail. I need to write that down so I don't forget. I'm a good Christian.
Yeah.
I'm the one that's forgiven. Ooh, I couldn't do this without the Holy Ghost. Come, somebody know you can't do this without the Holy Ghost.
Nothing.
Give God the glory. So we're going to see how your success can lead to your failure.
Yeah.
When we get ready. So we'll pick this up next week. Any thoughts or comments? Did this help anybody? I know it helped me. Ooh, good gracious. I just need to let the Lord just use me mightily. There's some things I'm dealing with I don't need to be dealing with. My anniversary was on Wednesday.
How many years?
33. Don't be testing me like that, Alan.
You got the new car, right?
Oh, Al, stay behind at the class. Jimmy gonna maybe go through my steps, okay? Maybe go through my steps. No, and this is an important date or whatever. And I was already mad about something else with her or whatever. And I'm like, you know, I called my son-in-law. I'm like, son-in-law, just pray for it, man. She wants to go riding all down in Union Springs and Eufaula and
yeah.
stuff like that, and look at old houses. She wants to go up there. And I'm like, man, I ain't scouted the area. I like to scout the area before I go down there. I'm not scouting the area and going down there and doing this. There you go, Al. I'm like, you know, I ain't used to that. She wants to go here, there, and the other, or whatever. I ain't feeling it. And I said, you know, I'm going to pray for rain. And all of a sudden, I look at her. You know, I ain't sharing nothing with y'all no more. Anyway, I looked at the forecast and I'm like, man, it's supposed to be sunny all week. Sunny all week. I said, God ain't delivering me. I said, what's going on? I said, I'm fearful because I ain't going out like no punk. And so this could just be blown up or whatever because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just went through the steps.
Yeah, I'm on your side.
You're missing the blessing, Chuck.
No, I didn't miss it yet.
The blessing was that she wanted to go riding.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't thinking about it that way.
He was thinking about stuff.
Yeah. And so I just gave it to the Lord. I ain't going to talk to you no more either, Roger. So I gave it to the Lord.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, Lord, I'm going to put all this in your hands because I can't fix this. I can't deal with this. It's stressing me out. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be a happy time. I'm stressed
and
out.
No, go back and pick it up later.
I didn't. Because what happened was I woke up, I don't know who I woke up next to, but all of a sudden, what you want to do today? I know what I wanted to do, but I'm going to need what you want. What do you want to do? It's all about you. I said, well, you know, I said, yeah, it's all about you. I said, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, I don't mind. You can ride anywhere you want to ride. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. I said, I ain't got to try to find lunch in a strange place. Oh, no, we can eat lunch right here. We go Chick-fil-A or whatever. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. And she made breakfast. I didn't even have to go to lunch. And then by the time we get ready to go, I'm like, okay, where are we going to go? I said, I'm going to go down to your father like you want to. And she said, oh, you're such a good man. And so we drove down to your father, and I didn't have to drive around looking for some place to eat or whatever. And it was just a wonderful time. We looked at some of the antebellum homes that she likes to look at or whatever. And then I got my backpack home or whatever and got a nice meal from La Jolla, La Jolla, La Jolla, La Jolla, Jolla, La Jolla, La Jolla. Yeah. And everything was fine, and it was so wonderful. It's such a peaceful day. I was like, Lord, I should have gave you this day a long time ago.